Welcome to Unfuck Your Life and Relationships with Anita Astley, psychotherapist and author, and Ryan Rossman, recording studio owner and music producer. This is a podcast like no other. Sit forward, listen in, and get ready to get unfucked from the inside out. Unfuck your life! Unfuck your life!
Hey guys, welcome to another session of Unfuck Your Life and Relationships. I'm your host, Anita Astley, and I'm in studio with Ryan.
Hello.
My co-host. Hi. Haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah.
Today, we are going to be talking about, as promised, the male experience of online dating and other stuff. We have Diego in the house. Diego usually works the audio stuff and blah, blah, blah stuff. But today he's in the hot seat because he's been here for the conversations we've had with the women. And he's kind of chiming in the background. I'm like, okay, dude, I know we need to get the male experience, but we want to get your experience. So here we go. Diego, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank now you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Diego, like you guys heard a few times already. And I work here at High Five. I'm an intern and I run a lot of the sound here. That's basically it. That's a little quick thing about me.
Okay. But so wait, how old are you?
I'm 20.
So you're just a baby. So, yeah, but it's important to get this perspective because we've been talking to older generation, you know, myself actually. And then you've been here throughout the conversations of when we had the women on.
Yep.
And I, you know, and you've been, you know, manning the digital stuff back. But then I thought, okay, I see him smirking. I see him laughing. We got to. So please tell us a little bit about your dating experience online.
Okay. Well, I didn't really do like start dating like online until probably like after my senior year of high school.
Okay.
And even then, or even now, I don't really do much like online dating. You know, I have the Tinder, you know, all that kind of thing, but it doesn't really go anywhere. I'm more of like, I like to meet people first before I like want to, you know, want to say like, oh, I want to go on a date with them, you know?
Okay.
So that's usually how it's been for me. Usually like I used to be a musician. So, you know, like if I go out to a gig and I'd meet a girl,
okay,
you know, I'd take her out to dinner after or something like that. You know, that's how it usually starts. But,
So then I would think you're atypical because I think from what I've read and some people that I've talked to, most people of your age generation, that's what they do. It's all online dating.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's not as appealing to me as it is to other people.
Okay.
And I think like hookup culture is very like, it's a big thing, especially on like with online dating, at least in my generation. And I'm not like that, you know. I'm really like to myself, and I don't, you know, it just doesn't, it's not something that's too appealing to me.
Okay.
So maybe that's why I'm not big on online dating.
Do you feel like there's just not a lot of people that are looking for like relationships through online dating? So maybe you just don't have as much of a pool to like even be like, you know, attracting, just because like there are more of them, the hookup culture, and that's just not your jam.
Yeah, I think so. I think also like I'm also really picky. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm a super
and you should
picky
be
person.
And you totally should
so
be.
There's not, you know, there's a certain like you said, you
a
know
type.
It's a certain demographic of people on there that
right.
are looking for that, and I'm
that's just
know.
That's just
but wait,
not what
different
you're looking
apps
for.
Again different mm-hmm. apps are attractive to different whatever your goal is,
right?
Whatever it is you're looking for. So you were on, what did you say?
I'm
Tinder?
On Tinder, and then I have, for the people, you know, listening, they can't see me, but I'm Latino, obviously. I don't know if you could tell by my name, but I have something called Chispa, and it's like a Latino dating app.
Okay.
Is that exclusively?
No, like, I've seen white girls on there. I've seen some black girls on there.
But
you
it's
know.
Mostly
yeah.
for Latino.
Yeah, it's mostly for Latino. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about it.
It's just like Tinder. It's, you know, the exact
all
same
right.
thing, just with, you know, Latinos
and
on there.
How has it worked for you?
Not very well, to be honest. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, I don't know. Like, I think for me, like meeting someone through the phone or like through dating apps is a little strange because I feel like I'm less awkward in person. Like I can talk to you more. Like, kind of make more of a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to being on an app and be like, hey, you know, and then just kind of.
It's like, what the fuck are you supposed to say?
Yeah,
like,
that's what I've.
That was my biggest thing too. It's like, what kind of goddamn conversations? Like, I'd Google, like, what are some good fucking things to say when you like match with somebody on that?
Yeah. Where,
so, Diego, obviously, you know, being Latino, do you find yourself only looking for other Latino women? Or do you feel like you would be interested in a wider spectrum of human?
I think basically for most of my life, it's definitely been Latino women.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm older, you know,
it's
like,
open?
I think I'm thinking of being a little more open. I think for now it's just like, you know, when the right person comes, you know.
I want to say that you're quite the opposite. So you're special. Amanda would agree, but she's not in studio today. Because most people, I think, would, you know, if we surveyed people, and I think I've read this too, that most people would prefer the texting communication over the in-person. I'm so happy to hear that, there's a 20-year-old in the world, he does exist, who likes to meet people in person and get to know them that way. And it sounds like that's less awkward for you than the texting part. Because, you know, we know that cowards behind keyboards, we can do lots of stuff behind the keyboard, but then when they actually meet the person, it's such a different vibe and it's so awkward. Yours is the opposite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it just, I mean, I can do both. I have, but it's just boring. Like, I don't know, I would
agree with you, but lots of people, I would agree with you. I'd rather just hang out and meet in person.
And then like on like kind of what Ryan was saying, it's like, what the hell do you even say? Like, what's your opening line? Like, and you can't like some people will put like, hit me with your best pickup line. Like, I don't fucking know. Like, I'm not.
So what have you done? Because you've done it. So what have you written? If like, you
know, nothing, like, nothing, not like anything like that.
You
just,
got,
hey.
You got no Riz lines. No, you got
nothing. No Riz. Come on, there's young people waiting and listening to this and wanting to know all, you know, men's experience. What's
like? I just, hey, how are you? What are you up to? Blah, blah, blah. Right. Okay. And that's why it's like, I don't know. It's.
So have you met somebody online that you've gone on a physical date with?
I want to say not on a dating app.
Okay.
But online, yes.
Where?
You know, like Instagram. You know,
you
that
just,
kind of
just
stuff.
Slide into some DMs. And see what happens.
Yeah, because social media platforms are now turning into dating sites, right? So how does that work? Tell me about the Instagram.
Well, for me, like, I think it's, like I said, it's different on like dating apps, but in the past when I've, you know, kind of texted someone on Instagram,
you mean
I'll be
DM them?
Yeah, I'll DM them. Okay. And I'll be like, hey.
Diego's actually like a 55-year-old woman in a 20-year-old Mexican body.
Vibe.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, no.
He's so sweet. We're taking a phone. You guys can send in your numbers, girls. He's a super sweet guy. How old are you again? You're not 20. Ryan's right. You're like in your 40s or 50s.
I keep telling him, first of all, you got to say you're like 23, 24.
That's true.
Stop.
Well, a lot of people do think that I'm older.
Yeah, you have a beard. Yeah. You know,
you have an old soul.
Growing up, it was all like, because I'm a very short person, but like growing up, I didn't have facial hair. I have a baby face underneath, you know.
You do,
but like,
you look younger.
They're just like, oh, how old are you? 14, and I'm like 17, and I'm like, no, can you not tell?
I'm a
like,
man.
Right. No.
So as soon as the beard kind of came in, you're like,
yeah, everybody will be like,
this
oh,
is what I'm doing.
Yeah,
you hit like, puberty finally.
Like I'll go to a bar, right? And then they'll be like, oh, how old are you? Blah, blah, blah. And obviously like I'll say 21, 22. And they're like, oh, I thought you were 25. And I'm like, what? Geez, like, I don't know where that came from, but okay. And it's actually like, it's mostly like white people that think I'm older than what I am. Because if you ask like anybody, you know, like a Hispanic or Latino or anybody, they'll be like, oh, he's 20, you know, 21. But if I like walk on the street, ask a white person, they'll be like, oh, he's 25. I'm like, no.
Okay, so on this date, so you said you, okay, so how did it go? Or you said you never had a date, but still it's through digital social media. So you slipped in the DM, as Ryan would say, and then she responded to you.
So I was like, hey, she texted back and I was like, you know, I just saw your profile. I thought you were really pretty. I want to get to know you a little better if that's okay with you. And they'll usually say yes or you know, very few times has it not worked.
Okay.
But
so then, do you talk on the phone or do you just?
Yeah, we text. We'll definitely text for a little bit because I feel like I'm a big FaceTime person.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Texting and talking on this show are not the same, guys. Okay?
Yeah. But okay. I think before you FaceTime, you got to text a little
bit. Yes, a little bit.
It's not
okay.
Like, hey, FaceTime right away. Like,
No. A little
bit
of texting.
How do you approach the, do you want to FaceTime? Because I don't know if I've like really done that.
Yeah.
Since with my, you know, my dating was kind of limited after sure. FaceTime, you know, was a thing.
Yeah. Well, I'll just like text for a few weeks, like, and like, usually then I know what they look like. I've seen their photos. They'll send them, you know, like, but then I'll just be like, you know, hey, do you want to FaceTime? And then, but it has to
this
be like
before phone call.
Yeah.
Oh. Anita, what do you feel about that?
I would
that?
Do a phone call and then
you
a FaceTime.
So? Nah.
Yeah, because if the vibe is good while we're speaking to each other, then I would be like, let's do a FaceTime.
Yeah, I feel like when you can see the person, it's just a lot easier, okay. In my opinion.
Interesting.
When you're on the phone, it's just like, blah, blah, blah. Like, what are you up to? Like, oh yeah, this and that, blah, blah, blah. But it's just like, you can't, like you can't see the person's reaction. They can react a certain
this.
Way.
Diego is an anomaly. I'm
right,
so happy
right?
to have, yeah, seriously. Yeah. Cause most people, again, it's the opposite. I want more people to be like Diego because Diego wants to have the, let me see you, let me meet with you.
Yeah,
and I'm all about that. Right. Because you're saying you looked at her pictures, but then you face him. You're like, oh, okay. It is her. This is what she looks like. Because we all know about, you know, profiles and the mismatch of what you actually look like.
Yeah. I need to make sure it's not a 50-year-old man. You know, like, so
you can find pictures anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay. So then you FaceTime.
Yeah. So like, I'll give you like an actual example of someone that I went out with. You know, I did all the, like what I told you, the hey, whatever. We FaceTimed, we had a good time, and then we went on a date. We did like the typical like movies and then like arcade, blah, blah, blah. We went out to eat, then we went to an arcade and we went to go get a movie.
Okay. Did you pay?
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Yeah.
I think arcades are a fantastic date.
Oh,
especially
first
date.
Oh, yeah.
I went
that.
On a couple of first date at arcade because you're always in close proximity to each other.
Yeah.
You can have some playful touching.
Yeah.
And I feel like it really sets up the flirting like in a really like easy and sort of like no pressure kind of thing. Yeah. Like it's really no big deal. And like you're like, then you can kind of gauge like the personality of like, are they going to be fun? Are they going to do whatever?
You're playing.
Too?
It's adult play,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely. And especially when, and there's alcohol at all these arcades now too. So like, I mean, obviously you're eight, so you're not drinking
eight,
at this, but.
You're less inhibited. Okay. All right. So movie, arcade.
Yeah. So we went out to eat, arcade, and then a movie. And then, you know, it went fine. I got the, you know, the typical first date kiss, whatever.
Okay.
And then after that, it was just kind of a little back and forth. We never like officially went on a second date, but we were kind of just like on and off after that. It never really went anywhere.
So what happened? And how do you, so wait, okay, this is interesting. So kiss on the lips or on the cheek?
Yeah, no.
We
on
do
the
what
lips,
another
on the
deal.
Lips,
okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. Okay. On the lips, so intimate, right? And you think, okay, this is going well. We got the vibe. I got some, you know, we have some physical attraction here going on. What happened that it doesn't lead to a second, third date?
What happened? This was so long ago that like I think it was like an experience that like was really kind of big in my life that I ended up kind of like, there's a lot more to it, right? With this girl that I kind of just like blocked it out. But
let's unblock that shit today.
Jeez.
I want to know everything. Did
we
you touch a titty? Like, what happened?
Well, there was no second date. So I'm curious because you said there was a vibe and there was some texting going back and forth. Because this is very common, by the way. You're not the only one where it kind of fizzles out. And I'm thinking, okay, is it because what the data suggests, which is they're still swiping left and right and they've just come across somebody else and bye-bye Diego, right?
Could have been.
Yeah. So what happened?
I went on this like, this is my senior year. She was a year older than me, so she was already out of like school, blah, blah, blah. And I went on this like retreat, this really big retreat that was a big deal for me for like a week. And when I came back, I was like, hey, so when am I going to see you again? This and that. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's not the time right now. Like, you know, I think I want to do my own thing. Like it's, you know, and I'm not ready for a relationship. And I was like, dang, like. All I could do was act like I wasn't hurt, but like I was
you
like,
were hurt.
I thought, you know, I thought this was going well.
Yeah.
And we stayed friends and whatever. And then she like came to my graduation. She met my family, blah, blah, blah. And that night, you know, we had like a real like intimate moment. And from then on, like we kind of started.
What does intimate moment mean?
Nothing too crazy. You know, like it was just her and I, we were watching a movie. We started, you know, like cuddling.
So physical intimacy.
Yeah. Okay. But not like, you know, like we didn't like have sex or anything like that night. You know, it was just, you know, something like that. And then we both kind of realized like, you know, we like each other. And she actually made the first, you know, move to be like, hey, you know what? Let's try this again. And then it didn't work out.
Okay.
But, and it was her, not me.
So, but wait, during the retreat time though, were you communicating with each other? Because you went
not
on a
much.
Date, then you, okay, so
no,
not
because
much.
That's, that, it was like one of those retreats where you're not allowed to have your
to
phone.
To be on the
like,
phone.
Go, blah,
okay.
You know? But, and that's kind of what happened.
Now, do you blame the retreat for
not working? I blame her.
Well, I don't know. Like if you go in, or if we go on a date and it's going well, and I'm thinking, okay, there's a vibe and we kiss and all that stuff. And I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of follow-up, meaning either texting or talking to each other all the time or FaceTiming. But then you go away for a week. I don't know. On the other side, I might be thinking, what happened? Like maybe it didn't go so well.
Things
maybe
things can cool. Like you can kind of maybe lose interest a little bit.
Right?
It can be kinds of stuff.
She knew that I was going on this retreat.
So you told her I can't.
Oh no, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
All right.
Communication is super big for me. So like obviously like
wow, he is an anomaly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I obviously told her I'm not gonna just like ghost her for a week, like unless that's my intention, right? To actually
right.
ghost
but
her.
You didn't, and then you kind of came back together, and then you're still good friends, but you decided, you know, it was
we're still good friends. She has her boyfriend now, and whatever.
Okay.
But we're good friends, and that's usually like how it goes. Like I'll you know message them, be like you know say that, and then kind of see where it happens, where it goes.
Yeah,
and it usually doesn't go anywhere. So that makes me question, right? Like, am I the problem? Like, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's me, you know?
Yeah, you are the problem.
Right.
You're a gentleman. We love you. But no, so are you still doing this on Instagram or are you talking about different apps?
Instagram. Okay. Yeah. I haven't really been dating recently.
Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What happened?
I was going out with this girl for a while, for a couple months.
You meet her?
I met her at school. Well, actually, I had seen her on social media before. We had texted a little bit, but it never went anywhere. And then she went to, I hope she doesn't hear this, but she went to the same school that I did, the same college.
Mm-hmm.
And one day we were just texting and I was like, oh, where are you? She's like, oh, I'm, you know, at school. And I was like, oh, well, I'm here too, blah, blah, blah. And then she just kind of came, because I worked at an office there.
Okay.
And she came to my job and like, she would just come like once a week and just hang out with me. And that's where that connection kind of started.
Okay.
And then at first it wasn't supposed to be anything serious, but eventually it kind of turned serious. And this time, I was the one that messed up. I knew it was definitely my fault.
What did you do?
It was going really well, actually. It was going really well, but
wait, I want to say, Amanda, he did do something wrong. If you're listening,
it wasn't
on.
Like
sorry.
I didn't cheat on her or anything like that.
Okay.
Like up to my understanding, to my knowledge, we were both exclusive. You know, we weren't seeing other people.
Right.
But it was like we came to a point where nobody had really communicated whether we were serious or not.
Okay.
But I thought that we were, and I assumed that she also thought we were.
Ah, this is where it all gets fucked up, right? These mind games, mind reading. And I'm just going to share this with you. I was talking, one of my patients a couple of weeks ago, I can share this because nobody knows who this person is. We were talking literally about exactly what you experienced in that relationship. She was dating this person probably for a couple of months. And then this whole conversation, and they did meet online, came up about exclusivity. Are we monogamous with each other? And then she was talking to me about saying, well, I'm hoping, but I think we are. And we kind of joked about it. And I said to her, and she's in her 40s, I said, why do you not just ask him? And she said, no, I can't ask him. I'm going to come across too needy, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the shit hit the fan. And of course, somebody was on a app and they got caught looking at somebody else, right?
Oh.
So I'm like, well, why didn't you have this conversation? Because the other person assumed, her partner at the time, assumed that they were not monogamous. She assumed that they were monogamous, but they kind of played mind games with it and it wasn't very clear. And I'm like, why do you got to make it so complicated? If that's what you want, right? You did it with Amanda. If that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, but it blew up in my face though.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about.
Yeah, but you had the conversation.
But we had the conversation.
Right? It wasn't this, I'm talking to my therapist about it, but I'm not talking to you about it. And my therapist is saying, talk to him about it. If it's important to you, want to be exclusive, talk to him about it. It blew up anyway because of this dance that they were doing around, like, are we exclusive? Are we not?
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to, that's kind of what happened. It seems like it blew up in your face. Have the conversation, friends. That's what I'm saying. If you're dating somebody, however you met them, and you want to be exclusive, ask them and tell them how you feel, what you think about it, and that you want to be. And if they don't, that's okay. You're in a different place. And then you can make a decision whether you're going to continue the relationship or not. Like you did, Ryan. You decided, well, I want exclusivity. And if you don't, then we need to kind of move on.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like if it's, I don't know, meant to be, whatever that means. But like, you know, we ended up circling
come back together. And we ended up,
you know, now we're married.
Now they're married.
And I mean, it's not great. I mean, now that she's not here, I can actually be honest. Like, my marriage sucks. No, I'm just kidding. No,
we love you, Amanda. We miss you. He's just bullshitting. Okay, so then that's the issue that you had.
Yeah.
Nobody was sure.
But so we had talked about it like before that saying like, you know, we're not seeing other people. But there's this thing, and I hate it, where people will be like, oh yeah, we're talking. It's like, what the
hell does that mean?
Talking? Exactly. I guess it's some kind of agreement that it's like, you're not talking to anybody else, like just me. But I thought we were dating. Like we were going on dates. To me, dating is, you know, you're going out, you're going on dates, you know, like this and that, blah, blah, blah. Like we weren't, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, but we were, you know, going out on dates and all this stuff.
But wait, does that then mean to you that you're dating her, but you're also dating other people?
No. Okay, no, that's the thing. Nobody was dating
that.
Other
okay.
people. Yeah, yeah.
Exclusive.
Nobody was dating.
You're exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it came to the point where she was like, so are we talking? And I was like, I thought we kind of were, right? And then she was like, well, you never really said it. So I assumed we weren't. She's like, and I'm not gonna like assume something that's not there if you don't say it. And,
yeah.
And like a lot of people will say that the labels don't matter, or some people say labels do matter, right?
Yeah.
So then when she was like, oh, well, are we talking or not? And I was like, oh, like, well, are we? And then I kind of got in my head and like, you know, it kind of started like spiraling on my own. And I was like, man, do I really want this? Like,
yeah.
And then everybody was telling me like, oh, you know, you're stupid. You know, you should stay with her, like this and that and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, I see the way that she looks at you. You know, I've never seen you like this happy. And it was true. I was super happy when I was with her. And then, you know, whatever. I was like, sure. Yeah, we're talking. But then like, I left on another trip, and then I came back, and afterwards I was like, you know what? I don't think this is what I want. Like, you know, and I cut it off, and I like recognized that was like my bad. I like telling her, yeah, this is what I want. And then like,
but you didn't really want
and
that.
And then telling her, yeah. Cause I think that time where I was able to be alone and like away from like just everything, like made me realize like, I don't think that's what I want. And
you.
I think the part of the problem is just like I was talking to Anita earlier, and Ryan knows this too. Like I've never had like an actual girlfriend, you know, like where it's boyfriend, girlfriend.
Honestly, it sounds like you kind of did, but like your generation is like deciding to have like a lot of ridiculous labels.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you've just described two relationships to me.
Yeah.
The first one, like the one that I did tell you wasn't as serious as the second one was. Cause you know, like we went on multiple dates, like more than I can count on my hands. And in my opinion, they were dates, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like I just got too comfortable being single.
Yeah.
So now I just like don't want to and can't not be.
What are you afraid of?
Commitment, I guess.
Okay. Commitment.
And I talked to her actually about that, and she understood, and she was like, well, whenever you're ready, like blah, blah, blah. This was before like I had gone on that trip. And she's like, well, you know, I understand it's this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then turns out she didn't understand and, you know, came at me and was like, why don't you want to like be with me? This and that and blah, blah, blah. And that's when I decided like, okay, yeah, I do want to be with you. And and I came back and
you didn't.
Shit hit the fan.
But this is very interesting to me because I'm of an older generation than you. This whole word about talking.
Yeah.
So let me make sure I understand you clearly. So if you, this generation, if you say, well, yeah, we are talking, it doesn't mean what I think. Yeah, we're talking. Of course we're talking.
Yeah.
But it means what? We're dating. We're exclusive?
I guess. To me, like…
No, I don't know.
So talking
I would never
is exclusive?
Like, yeah, I would never know
like that. It
seems
like more than just like seeing each other.
From what I understand…
Okay,
exclusive, I guess. But I never really got it. You
that's
know? Like,
so confusing. No wonder relationships are so fucked
up. But I think
the language.
I think
right.
talking, like the term talking is also a very like childish thing. Like
hell yeah.
It's when you're like, I guess I'm technically an adult, right? But like when you're an adult, it's like I'm either dating you or I'm not. You know?
Oh, okay.
That's like what I would say.
Well,
now.
This is a big problem today. Cause again, like I talk about my patient. Are we dating, meaning we're dating, but I'm also dating five other people? Because mm-hmm. it's like an interviewing process. I'm dating you. I'm going to date John over here. And I'm going to figure out which one I like the most. And it's an mutual process.
Yeah.
Or for some people, we're dating means we're exclusive. We need to define the terms because that's where you get into trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
What would you define it as, though?
Well, I think if we're dating, I'm going on a date with you one date. But then I would assume that you're also dating other women. Unless we've had the conversation and we've gone on multiple dates. But the first date, I wouldn't assume that you're exclusive with me.
No, not after the first date.
Right, not after the first or even the second or the third. When I met my partner, we basically said to each other, okay, I'm off all the apps. We're going to be exclusive. And that, and I needed to hear that. He needed to hear that. And everything worked out fine. But it's these people that I work with today. And I'm just listening to you now. I'm like, oh my God, the language would totally fuck me up. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I have to deal with 20-year-olds.
Right.
The terminology, we're talking, we're dating, and what are we? Like relationships, we've made them so much more complicated through this digital dating process, which I think can be great, but we need to define what we're define the terms. The language is different.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, how frustrating is it, you know, too, where you're kind of like, maybe you even use a different, like the same word.
Yeah.
But they view it as a different mm-hmm. thing. They interpret it somewhere different too. So it's like, how do you even know where you are? And like, what can you say?
And I would use exact terminology and say, are we exclusive? Or I want to be exclusive. Are we monogamous?
Are you interested in exclusivity in the near future even?
Yeah, maybe just like, in the near future.
Do you think this is going somewhere? Do you want to be... I mean, so Diego, you're not part of the hookup culture right now. But you also want to be... not exclusively dating. So what is it about your freedom that you feel like you would be losing?
Dude, I don't even know.
That's a whole nother show. We got to do that commitment. No, but we can get into that a little bit today. It's the fear of commitment, right?
Yeah.
Men and the fear of commitment.
Sure.
Yeah, I think... So for me, like a big thing is like... I was... Like I said, I was a musician. I went to all these gigs. Blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of beautiful girls there. And I'm not one to like ever like say like I'm gonna cheat on a girl, right?
Uh-huh.
But there's obviously that like, oh man, like
you're like, tempted. You're
always.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
I'm not gonna do it. But then I feel bad when it's like, well, I really shouldn't be like looking at all these other women and thinking anything if I'm supposed to be with this
girl.
We
are, listen, we are all human,
absolutely.
Especially at the age of 20. Yeah. Like the young people that I work with today, I'm like, why tie yourself up and, you know, make this commitment if you're really still looking for other people? Just say, you know, I don't want to be exclusive. I'm dating people. You can say that. And then you're not going to get hurt. The other person is not going to get hurt. And it's clear. And I think for somebody who's in their 20s, I think you should play the field. I get worried when people tie themselves up at such a young age. It's okay. It's called a dating process. It's like when you're looking for a job, you're going to look for multiple jobs. You're not going to tell one employee, yeah, I'm cheating on you because I'm applying over there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You're going through a process. And I think young people like yourself, especially being a musician, you're on the road. These women, you know, girls are like all hot for you because girls and musicians,
absolutely.
You know how that goes, right?
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah, and then you're not setting yourself up for failure, for cheating, like you're saying, because you can say, hey, I'm dating, but you know, I'm a free agent and I kind of like my freedom right now. But if you want to get together when I'm in town or whatever, that's great. But the important part is having those conversations, which people don't have. And then they get into this, oh my God, am I cheating because I'm looking at this girl?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, like, I know if I like look at a girl and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm not
she's
cheating.
She's hot. Right?
But like, I'm not cheating. But there's still that like part in me where it's like, well, do you know, I have this girl, you know, where I'm from that is like, you know, really likes me and I really like her. So why am I like,
because you're human
this sort of
and
way.
You're 20.
It doesn't turn off. I mean,
I
feel like you have to be honest. Like, I talked to Amanda. Like, we've talked about like, oh, that girl has nice boobs, or look at that thing,
or
look
hot.
At that,
it's
or whatever
okay.
it might be.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden gonna like.
You're not gonna
cheat.
Act on
it,
right?
And it's not. And I don't feel guilty about it because just because you get married or in a relationship, all of that, that part of your brain doesn't stop
but
working.
That, and it like, shouldn't die, and
it
right?
shouldn't, yeah.
We are visual. We, I admire all kinds of different bodies. It doesn't mean I'm going to act on it. But
absolutely.
Somehow, if we look at somebody else, like I'll be with my partner, I'm like, wow, she's beautiful. Look at her,
yeah.
right? Doesn't mean any. I'm able to admire both genders and I'm not bisexual.
Yeah, like, yeah,
but
you
beauty
know,
is beauty.
Right.
Right.
It is, you know, and I think, yeah, you know, talking about, you know, other men and women, as long as you're not making it into like some weird sort of like
yes.
sexual thing
with your
like,
partner.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but you, let's just be real. Like, I mean, there are a lot of attractive humans uh-huh. in the world.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to take a peek every once in a while. Like, you know, you're in Target and you see, you know, a hot chick. You
which
glance
Target
for a
did
second.
You go for, guys?
You know, like the Grafton Target is,
yeah,
is my
Target
favorite
sucks.
One.
No hot people.
But yeah, you know, you sneak a quick peek
absolutely.
At a boob, you,
yes.
and then you go back to shopping.
A butt, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You don't sit there and
you're
and so unhinged. I love it.
No, I mean,
Diego, why are we the unhinged ones? We're the old ones, and you're the young one. But I do want to say, I don't think it's correct or proper or appropriate when you're on a date with your significant other, even if you know you've been for
sure.
a while. If it's a date, don't check out other people, especially
not,
early
yeah.
on. Yeah,
especially
I've
early
seen that.
On.
I'm just like, seriously,
yeah,
dude,
no.
you're with your wife and girlfriend, and like you're basically
yeah.
Googling
right.
at this other person.
Yeah,
that's totally rude and unacceptable.
Yeah.
But
for
if I'm
sure.
at Target, your Target especially, I guess, saying, hey, there's like hot people in this Target. I need to come here more often. Never
yeah.
mind the one in Milwaukee. It sucks.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think too, it's just
yeah.
like, you, yeah, Diego, you got to also remember that like, you get to be in a relationship with someone where you get to have a like probably your best friend that you get to also fuck. Like that is basically being in a relationship
right.
and
yeah.
it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But, so like, I don't know why people are afraid of
don't
it.
Don't you think though that could be a problem? Like this person's your best friend and you're hooking up with them, seeing every day. But if you break up, you're like, fuck, I don't have my best friend anymore. Cause
no,
realistically,
huge, absolutely,
realistically,
but that's part
you're
of
not
the suffering.
Break.
You know, we talked
it
about
is.
In the last podcast.
Right. But who wants yeah. to suffer?
Diego, this is where the youth is coming in.
Man.
Let me just tell you, life is suffering. You will
yeah.
suffer in many ways in your life. You're 20 now. The suffering continues.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
you unfuck that suffering by getting some help, going to therapy, or just learning from the experiences. But you will have suffering in your life. Like I tell my kids, you guaranteed you will have suffering, but you need to experience the suffering, go through the suffering to get to the other side, to learn something from it. It is when people get stuck in the suffering and they can't deal with it. We do live in a culture of, oh my God, everything is so soft, right? I don't want
yeah.
to feel pain. It's part of life. You will get to the other side, you'll be stronger, and then you go on and you have another suffering. Suffering is a part of life. Sorry,
but,
Diego.
Yeah, but if you go through life saying, I'm not going to do anything because I don't want to have the potential of suffering, then you're never going to be happy. Like
that's
life
true.
Is all about a lot of really good and a lot of really bad.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, it's life's way too short to be like afraid of trying
yeah.
to do
and
something.
You know,
oh,
yeah,
right. yeah,
and
yeah.
relationships will. You will have the worst of times and you will have the best
yep.
of times and they will involve suffering. Because we talked about attachment and detachment in the last episode, if you guys listen to it, basically that relationships are all about detaching and attaching. And that comes from how do we do that in our family of origin, if you guys remember from the last episode. And when we detach from somebody we love, whether it's our choice or not, guess what? We are going to suffer. But it's when we can change with that new reality that our suffering becomes less and less each time.
Mm-hmm.
Get
yeah.
ready to suffer, my friend.
Yeah, no, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I definitely
Roger
have been
and I,
through.
We have suffered.
Oh,
we know.
Oh my God! Yeah.
I've definitely
so
been
suffering.
Through a lot of things at you know this young age.
Yeah,
yeah, and but. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like Diego, you and I were talking about this last week. I feel that men hurt a little bit harder than women
oh, yeah.
with breakups, at least in my
oh, yeah.
experiences.
How? How so?
It's a woman could, you know, like. Get broken up with or break up with someone, go out and find another guy like that. It's so much harder for a man, like in my opinion, right?
Interesting perspective. No, but that's interesting perspective.
Yeah,
what makes you think that?
That
well,
it's so much easier for
yeah.
women to like find, because I've seen it done, you know, like it's so much, if I don't know, like if I go up to a girl like and be like, hey, I think you're pretty, blah blah blah, this and that, and we talk the whole night, like the chances of me going home with her are probably very, very low, you know, if like it's something that I want. But it's if a girl goes out and she's like, tonight I'm gonna go find a guy to hook up with, I feel like it's a lot.
It's easier.
It's so much easier.
Really?
And why? It's because men are stupid. Like, to be honest.
I'm not going
to
disagree with that.
To be honest, like, that's what it is.
Maybe more vulnerable. Okay.
Yeah. I know we were talking too, and I just feel like after breakups, I always feel like I'm definitely suffering more than
the women.
What
makes you feel that? Because I work with a lot of women who are.
I'm sure that they are.
What,
I mean, I guess it's my own personal experience.
Okay.
And maybe just, you know, some other people that I've talked to. I feel like it doesn't last that long for me. But like when I have gotten broken up with or things haven't worked out, it's like there's like, you know, a couple of weeks where it's like I'm fucking messed up.
Okay.
Right. And then you wake up one day and it's like, oh, OK, I'm going to be
you wake up and get
a little bit better, a little bit better.
It's less.
But like,
I'm going to say that I think it's because as a woman, I think, you know, we suffer equally. Well, you're saying maybe you suffer more, but I think it's our suffering is different and how we process it is different. Women have lots of other women. They have a network that they take their suffering to.
Yeah.
And then they work it out and talk it out. Where I think for men, mostly, they keep the suffering inside of themselves, which
absolutely.
Makes it harder, right?
Yeah.
Men don't want to be vulnerable to another guy or their family to say, hey, oh my God, I'm so depressed. I'm heartbroken over this breakup. They want to be the alpha men.
Yeah.
And their significant other is always that person that they go to with their suffering. Where women have 10 other women they can go to and talk about their suffering. Maybe
that's a great point because, Amanda's really the only person when I'm like really like going through some shit.
Yeah.
Like she's the one that I would kind of talk to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's some like Diego's interesting because I feel like I could talk to him about stuff.
Yeah.
But I think we've decided he's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
You know,
we can't generalize.
Yeah. But
from
pretty
you,
much
no
any
way.
Of my other guy friends, like I'm not going to have like
no,
a
you're
lot
not.
Of conversations
so that,
with.
So then our suffering appears to be less, but it's because we are just going to our friends, going to our family. That's what I've done with my suffering. When I'm suffering, I'm like, oh my God, for me to work it out, I need to talk it out. And I think for men, for them to work it out, they internalize and they think about it a lot, but they're not necessarily talking and processing. That's changing slowly because I would say the majority of my patients right now are men. And that's like a huge shift because generally it's women. But I think now when men are starting to realize, hey, wait a minute, I need to talk this out. I can't keep all the suffering inside of myself. And maybe I just go to a therapist because I don't want to bother my friend. I don't want to bother my family, or I don't want to make myself vulnerable to any of these people, but I'll go and get some help from somebody else, which is great because we all need to work it out. But there's different ways of working out the suffering. Think it through, talk it through. We need a combination of both. I think about it, but I generally need to talk it through, as you guys know. That's what I do. Talk, talk, talk.
Absolutely.
It helps. So
yeah.
That's a very interesting point. Where do we take our suffering and how do we process? And you're talking about that, right? You think women rebound much quicker, but maybe that's the reason they do. We just talk about it.
You got more stuff to talk to.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's interesting to talking about therapy, like you saying you're having more
male clients. Yeah.
I don't feel like I could have a male therapist.
That's
feel so much more comfortable
with a woman.
With anything. And it has nothing to do with anything like sexual attractiveness. Like
it's
like, I don't know, maybe because like it has always been that my girlfriend has been or wife has been the person that I talk to about stuff that I just feel that
it
way.
Could be like,
or like because I don't talk to dudes like
you
know,
tell
my own
you,
friends about
as,
it.
As a therapist in my training, we study this. Like how it's not random that you choose a male or a female. It is really based on what you're going to be, what do you bring to the table in terms of your own childhood and what you're trying to work out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a man and I chose a man because I had a lot of daddy issues. I thought it was random, but really it was not random. When the whole therapy, you know, came to an end, sadly, because I moved, not because I wanted it to, it became very clear. I needed to work out my daddy issues with somebody who was like a dad to me. And my therapist ended up being like a father to me. So I was able to recreate some of that trauma and then work it out with him.
Right.
Like I would literally get mad at him, but I was projecting because I was experiencing like my dad. He's rejecting me. And he would say, I'm not your dad. I'm not rejecting you. This is a different experience.
Yeah.
But it went deeper than that. But I also think men choose women as their therapist. Well, you got mommy issues perhaps, but also it's easier to make yourself vulnerable to a woman than to go to a guy and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling very vulnerable. I'm hurt. We don't want to do, men don't want to do that with other men in generally speaking. And women are the nurturers. We take a hunting and gathering, right? What do we do? Our job is to nurture and to heal and to help.
So I just wanted my mom to love me more
love
when I was
me
younger.
More. Yeah. Well, you're able to open up to Amanda. So if you went for therapy, you want a woman because you're going to feel like
that. It just feels nurturing
easier.
And comforting and that for sure.
So and everything you're saying, there's a lot of research to back that up, but that's okay. But it's getting guys to talk to one another and normalizing that it's okay. We can take our suffering to our bros, you know that's okay. There's
speaking on that,
another
anomaly, right? But like, I feel like I can talk to my guy friends and be like, hey, and I have before. I've been like, hey, dude, like today I'm just really not feeling it. Like I've had my fair share of emotional issues, right? And I've talked to my friends.
Suffering, you've had a lot of suffering.
Sure, And they know, like, you know, they've known. I've also gone to therapy before. But like all my friends know that I've struggled a lot and I can talk to them and I feel like I can talk to them. I feel comfortable telling them, hey guys, like I'm not feeling very well, you know, like this is what's going on. Right. So I definitely can see though that like how other people, you know, or like other men don't feel comfortable talking to their other guy friends. But also I'm like my relationships, like my friendships, we're like family, you know, like we're super close.
But
super
I also
close.
Think that's cultural because you're Latino, That's very similar to Indian culture where, you know, men do share much more emotionally and also physically. Like if you went to India, you'd see guys holding hands. Like that's they're very comfortable with each other physically. That's probably because they're, you know, culturally not supposed to do that with their wives or
girlfriends.
It's
actually, you know, quite the opposite. Yeah. Like in the Hispanic culture, the man's supposed to be, that's where the word machismo comes from, you know, like he's supposed to be the macho man. Like he can't show emotions, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And the thing that I feel was different for me growing up was because I have a brother, I have two sisters, you know, my mom and my dad. My dad, when I was growing up, wasn't home all the time because he was always working.
Yeah.
And my brother was already grown. So I grew up with my mom and my two sisters.
Yeah.
So there's definitely, there could be that like feminine, you know, like.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Thing. Yeah. My stepdad wasn't really around at all. And like, I just had my sister. So then you don't
learn to do that, right?
Yeah.
Just emulate that.
That could very well be why I'm so comfortable, you know, sharing stuff with my friends. And also like, you know, like classically, in Latino, especially Mexican culture, like men are supposed to be, you know, fearless and not supposed to care and blah, 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 and this and that. But I think as we're growing older, even my parents, like I know that in their times, it was like that. But like now, my parents are definitely getting a lot more emotional and can, you know, like, show us more of their emotional
softer.
Sides.
Softer.
And my friends too, you know, like I think we're just evolving and we're able to kind of see like, hey, it's not bad to do
I think
that.
Diego, you should start lecturing young people, giving talks. So seriously, you talk about your emotions, you're not afraid to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You want to meet people in the real world and not online. I'm like, Jesus.
That is pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't know. I think there are some, I mean, that is part of this your generation now, which is so much better. Like, you know, if I think about like when I was in high school, it'd be like feelings, you know, like, you know, all of a sudden you're probably going to get, you're going to get made fun of.
Beat up.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's that, you know, now it's, I think it's a little bit more okay. I think we talk about stuff
it's more
a bit
acceptable.
More. Yeah. And I think that's great. Yeah. I think
But I do want to say we talk about the stuff, but do we actually do it? I still think there's a huge gap between the doing part, even though, you know, it's changing. Just like in my private practice, more men are coming. There is still that stigma. But I'm so happy to hear, you know, talk to Diego and have him in studio today. And he's talking about how you're able to do that with your friends. Now, how did they receive it? They receive it pretty well, I'm assuming, because you keep doing it. Talking to them, sharing.
Yeah.
And they share
with you
return.
As well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. For most of the times they do share with me.
Yeah.
Most of my friends also like are in a relationship. They have their girlfriends. And that's another thing. Like I'm also like super close to their girlfriends. They're all like brothers and sisters to me.
Family.
Right? Like they're like family to me.
Yeah.
So I have this whole like support system and they all know that I've struggled and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, even when I'm not, like, if they can tell, they'll be like, hey, you know, like, are you okay? Like, you know, what's going on?
That's blah, blah, awesome. Blah.
But they always receive it super well. And like, we can, like, they have come to me for sure and been like, hey, you know, today I'm just not feeling it, or this is what's going on. You know, and I try to support them as well as I can, as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, so. Diego, we are going to have you back on this show because there's so much more to unpack.
Oh, I know.
The
awesome.
Commitment stuff going on. But I love the fact that you are so, you make yourself so vulnerable to your friends. You seem to have a really good support system. And you're totally the other way around on the online dating. But you shared some of those experiences with us today. Thank you. But I love the fact that you, what?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course, but we're going to have you back. But the fact that you want to go out and meet people in the real world and date is amazing to me. And I think there is a bit of a backlash and swinging back the other way, which is positive. Like, okay, not everything can be achieved online, and we shouldn't always be seeking it online, that we can actually go back to our communities and meet other people. Yeah. And we talked about, you know, one of the most important things I want people to take away today is have the talk about, are we exclusive or are we not? Because when we talk to the women about online dating or dating in general, and then you today confirming again, there is this language and there's all these games that are going on, mind games. Are we talking? Are we dating? What is this called? Just have the conversation. Are we exclusive? Are we not?
Yeah.
And if we're not, it's okay. But let's talk about it.
Yeah, enough with the nonsense, right? Yeah, all the games. I think you nailed it. I mean, that's exactly what it is.
One of the chapters in my book, Unfuck Mind Reading, we're not going to read each other's mind if we just simply choose to have the conversation. Thank you so much, Diego, for coming on the show today.
And
of course, thank you to Ryan for being my co-host. And we will unfuck life next time, guys.
Yeah, we got to get Amanda back here with Diego, though, I feel
We got a lot to talk about. Yeah. Diego, you're going to become a regular on this show.
I mean, you're already here.
Yeah, I'm already here.
In studio. We love him. Thank you, Diego. Okay, guys, have a great week. Take care. Until next time.
Unfuck Your Life and Relationships was recorded at High Five Studio in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Unfuck your life! Unfuck your life!